of you.
Hello, my name's Tom Walker. Welcome to That Will Be The Day. This podcast covers safety on the railways, and people who know me well will understand why this subject is close to my heart. In 2009, a totally blind friend of mine, Andy Taylor, was killed on London Bridge train station. And 13 years later, you might be excused for wondering whether the railway industry has learnt anything from Andy's and many other people's deaths. When you hear Deborah Fairclough's harrowing story, you'll understand why she feels lucky to be alive. Deborah is visually impaired, and when her assistants didn't turn up, she was left with no option other than to try to get off the train independently.
So I was travelling from Sheffield to Langley in Berkshire near Reading.
Tell me about the journey. What does it involve?
Okay, so it involves a few changes, and the significant one really was at Reading. Got on the train at Reading with assistants. I pre-booked my assistants. Got on the train, and apparently they didn't contact Langley. So when I got to Langley, I didn't know that there was a big drop from the train to the platform.
Before we talk about the incident, just tell me about the process of booking assistance. How did you go about doing that?
So I rung them. I rung East Midland Trains because that's who managed the Sheffield station. And just basically, that was about 3 days, 4 days before I travelled. And just booked assistance at all points. I described my disability and I described what I needed in terms of support from them. They then emailed me to confirm that they'd got the details correctly. I read the email, absolutely fine. And that was that, really.
So on your way down to Langley, at the various change points, the assistance turned up and was fine, apart from at Langley.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So when you got to Langley, tell me what happened there. Presumably there was an announcement, something like that, and you got up to get off. How did that work?
There was an announcement, an automated announcement. I got up, the door opened. I got my cane, so I judged the distance between the train and the platform, tried to judge the depth of the step, but I didn't anticipate that it would be such a drop. So I went to step off because I knew the train was going to go out. There was no assistance. Nobody came to the train. I knew I had to get off. So I stepped. But as I stepped, the door started shutting. And I didn't, because the drop was so high, I kind of fell forwards, but then I fell backwards into the train. So I was half in and half out of the train. Then the door shut on me. I had to try and push the door back open. I'd hit my shoulder, my arm, my hand on the right-hand side. Nobody came. I thought, oh, my God, the train's going to go out and I'm lying on the floor. And then from nowhere, somebody who actually turned out to be a manager came running along the train. He'd, by complete coincidence, been in the next compartment. He'd seen me fall. Jumped out and came and helped me, basically dragged me up with my hands.
Before we talk about, you know, the effects that that's had on you, just let's go back a step. At what point did you expect the assistants to turn up at Langley? When would they have normally appeared to help you?
Immediately that I got into we got into the station. So as soon as the train stopped, they would normally have come straight to the doors, the external doors, and spoken, hi, you know, are you Deborah or whatever, and met me and then helped me down from the train.
They would have been told which carriage you were in.
Yeah, absolutely. That's what should have happened.
You're lying there between the door, half in, half out. I mean, at that point, you must have been absolutely terrified.
I was, because I thought that I thought the train was going to set off with me half in, half out, because the door, there was the kind of beeping sound that you hear as the door shut. I was having to push the doors open to stop them trapping me on the floor. And I was lucky because I had my rucksack on, which stopped me miraculously hitting my head and my spine.
How long were you lying on the floor for before the guy came to help you?
Well, it seemed like forever, but it obviously wasn't. It was probably about a minute, maybe. But by that time, the train was ready for going.
When he saw you in that position, what did he do?
He came running down. I didn't know who he was. I didn't know that he was a member of staff. He could have been anyone, really. He just came running down. He grabbed me by my arms and pulled me up and said, "Are you okay? Are you okay?" And then I was kind of standing on the platform with him.
So he was an official from the train company.
He was a manager. He was there were two of them, actually. There's him and a woman. Strangely enough, I think they'd been to an event, apparently. So they straight away kind of took charge of it. Contacted, obviously spoke to Langley straight away. And then they immediately contacted Reading to see what had happened and basically said to me, obviously, this is really, really serious, totally unacceptable. And, you know, we will be getting to the bottom of it and addressing it.
You haven't reported it because you assumed, I mean, presumably, that they would report it for you.
Yeah, absolutely, because that's what they said they would do. Yeah, absolutely.
Tell me about the physical injuries that that you suffered.
Yeah, so, I mean, I was very lucky, but I had bruising to my right shoulder, my shoulder blade, to my right arm. I had muscular pain in that arm, and I'd hit my hand. I think that was when it was kind of virtually being trapped because I was forcing the door. So I still got pain in, like, the knuckle of my middle finger on my right hand. But I was very, very lucky. It could have been a whole lot worse.
Psychologically, Deborah, what's the effect been?
I think it's really thrown me. I think it's really made me think about, you know, the inaccessibility still for disabled people of travel. And also I think that, you know, okay, they've got the assistance app, which is brilliant. But I do think that in terms of the process, there's a lot of chaos and lack of clarity, which is how this incident occurred in the first place.
Has it shaken your confidence in your own sort of independence, if you like?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's shaken my confidence in the support that I will or won't get when I'm travelling or trying to travel independently. And I think, you know, that's tragic, really, because, you know, we have the same rights as non-disabled people, and they have a responsibility to us to enable, you know, our access.
What do you think needs to happen now to improve things then on the railways for visually impaired and people with other disabilities?
I think that they need to review the process because there seemed to be a lack of clarity. When they were describing to me what the process should be, it just didn't make much sense to me, to be honest. So they need to clarify for themselves what the process is in terms of who they contact or when in our journey. And I think they need to ensure that there are sufficient staff with sufficient training to provide the assistance that disabled people need.
There are many stations that are actually unstaffed. Presumably, yeah. On those stations, no help would be available at all, would it?
No, absolutely. That is such an issue, especially since they are at the moment talking about disposing of the ticket offices, which would mean that, you know, not even they are staffed. So where you would normally go to the ticket office to request that they call for your assistance, that wouldn't be available. But you're right. You know, obviously, if there isn't staff, then there is no assistance available for disabled people anyway, which is just completely unacceptable.
When you reflect on what's happened to you, what are your thoughts now? You know, how do you feel about travelling?
I will continue to travel because I don't have a choice. You know, there are things that I have to do. I have a mum with dementia. You know, I have a dad who's 84. So as well as other things. So I really don't have a choice. But I think from my point of view, I won't trust the process until it's thoroughly reviewed and investigated, and until I know that there is sufficient staffing and sufficiently trained staff to provide the assistance that we as disabled people need.
What advice would you give to visually impaired people and people with other disabilities who are thinking of travelling on the railways? What would you say to them about how to avoid this kind of thing happening?
I wish I had an answer. I would say do what I would normally do, which is via the app or by phone, pre-book your assistance, make sure you've got evidence to show that you've actually done that, whether that's the app or an email or whatever, and make sure that you are clear with the person assisting you that you want them to call through to the next station that you're going to get off at. However, I did that, and unfortunately, that didn't happen.
When you were at Langley Station and sort of dusting yourself down, did any members of staff from the train station itself come to you and say, oh, you okay?
They did, yeah. They offered me a drink of water. They said, do you want to sit down? But to be quite honest, all I wanted to do was just go. I'd really had enough. I just wanted to go and, you know, get myself sorted and calmed down, really. I got off lightly, really, in terms of what happened to me, but other people haven't. And it's just crazy that we're still in 2022 talking about access to public transport, which we should all have.
Deborah, thanks very much indeed. I have received a statement from Scott McLeod, who's the Communications and Stakeholder Manager at MTR Elizabeth Line. We deeply apologise for failing to provide the assistance Deborah required for her journey on the Elizabeth Line. Her travel experience was unacceptable and is not the service we aim to provide, nor representative of the service experienced by customers requiring assistance. The Elizabeth Line has been designed to create new journey opportunities for all. To achieve this, we offer a turn-up and go service on the entire route. We don't require any bookings for those requiring assistance. When a customer requiring assistance arrives at one of our stations, a member of staff will call through to their destination station to ensure there is someone to help them off. On this occasion, no one called through to Langley, so no assistance was set up when Deborah arrived. We have investigated why this didn't happen and have reminded our partners of their responsibilities to try and avoid this happening again. All trains on the Elizabeth Line are fitted with passenger communication intercoms with the driver. These are located at each doorway. If a passenger has any safety issue, we advise them to remain on the train and to use this feature to speak with the driver, who is able to organise assistance.